Thursday, May 30th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, if you are tired of the same old sports talk, the same old arguments, the same old subjects, hang out here for a while. You're going to like it a little bit better. We talk sports with a little more variety. We try to inject a dose of common sense, and we are happy just to laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever we get the chance. Hey, and we're also happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. I hope that your week is going well. You know, a lot of times these short holiday weeks, they feel like a lot longer. Hopefully yours is going well. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. Emails, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a suggestion for us. Maybe you have a comment for us. Reach out to us. We want to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure to stop by tpublic.com where you can find the latest Daily Dose gear that we have. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, a number of items that are over at tpublic.com. Just search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see our logo, and there you are going to find a number of items to pick up. Hey, as we have done all week, we actually have a flashback episode for you today as we look back at the Daily Dose as it was back in 2015. Now, the 2015 NBA draft had just taken place, and we are looking at a few of the top players that had been selected. Plus, we also have a Daily Dose top five for you. And today we're counting down the top five NBA draft busts of all times. Who made our list today? Sit back, relax, and enjoy a flashback episode of the Daily Dose. Wednesday, July 1st, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. We're not going to give you the same takes that you're going to find on other sports shows. We're not going to just regurgitate that same information that you find on in some of these mass media outlets. If you want a little more insight, if you want to be a little more informed, then I think you're going to enjoy this podcast. You want some humor, you want a little bit of sarcasm mixed in, this is the podcast for you. You can tune in, you can find us just about anywhere that you can find podcasts, whether it be iTunes, whether it be Podcast Republic, any of those places you can find us. Let someone else know. If you're enjoying the podcast and you like it, let a friend know. Let a coworker know. Let a family member know. We need to get some more people. Our numbers seem to be going up every single week, but let's get a few more. The bigger it gets, the better it gets. Let's jump in because we have a lot to get to today. Got a lot of things to talk about in the NBA. The NBA is moving and shifting and moving all over the place. Gonna break down the NBA draft that happened last week, and I'm gonna give you a few things that I looked at that with interest. A few things that I looked at and said, what were they thinking? Give you a couple teams that you might want to keep an eye on with their draft. A lot of news coming out in the NBA. New Orleans Pelicans are saying that they have a deal really, really close to extend Anthony Davis for 5 years. There's a lot of talk that maybe Davis wouldn't re-sign with New Orleans. Portland Trailblazers, sounds like they are nearing a max extension with Damian Lillard. Bulls are close to a 3-year deal with Mike Dunleavy. LaMarcus Aldridge is meeting with a couple of different teams. NBA draft took place on Thursday night. And there were a couple of surprises that came out of the NBA draft. First pick on the clock, I think everybody knew who they were going to take. The Minnesota Timberwolves took Karl-Anthony Towns as number one. And I don't think there was ever any question about that. Karl-Anthony Towns looks like he's probably the best player in that draft. I think that the skills that he brings, the ceiling that he has, and to be very, very honest, the type of person that he seems like he is, seems like he's a kid that wants to work hard, seems like he's a kid that's going to come in and you know, respond the correct way. I think Karl-Anthony Towns was number one easily. But then the Lakers kind of surprised some people. Because there was talk that they were going to go with the other big man, Jahlil Okafor, and they jump over and they take the point guard, D'Angelo Russell, out of Ohio State. Now, Russell is a great floor leader. He's not a real athletic guy. He's a big guy. Very, very good in the pick and roll situation. Seems to always, he seems like he's very good at finding the mismatch, finding the one open man. He's a young point guard, so he's gonna over dribble. He's gonna dribble at times way too much, get himself into some trouble a little bit at the NBA level doing that. You might get away with that against Northwestern and Penn State, but you won't get away with that at the next level. But he's a big point guard, and it looks to me like the Lakers feel like they have to have a big time point guard to compete in the West. When you think about the point guards that are over in the Western Conference in the NBA, Steph Curry, Chris Paul, Tony Parker, even guys like, you know, Mike Conley with Memphis, who is very, very tough, very tenacious player. Russell Westbrook, obviously. Feels like the Lakers said, hey, we see the direction this league is going. We have to get this guy while we can get him. Here's my only concern. Did you pass up a very good big man to get him? Because I realize that a great point guard, they're not always out there. Finding a great point guard, we used to always talk about you had to have a great front door to your team and you had to have a great back door to your team. Your front door was your point guard. Your back door was your big man. Both very, very important. But if you want a stable house, you had to have those two things. It just feels like there's other point guards out there. Great big man sometimes are a little bit rare. And it doesn't seem like you always see those guys out there. And my concern is that you may have reached just a little bit on this. Jahlil Okafor could be great. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch how these players develop over the next few years and see which player develops, which player ends up being that guy, when we look back at this draft. Because you look back at some of the drafts in the past, some interesting picks that go down. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that, later in the show. Did you see, though, the Lakers' second round pick? The Lakers, with their second round pick, decided to go with Wyoming forward Larry Nance Jr. in the second round. Now, first off, I don't think Larry Nance Jr. is necessarily an NBA guy. I think he's a very, very athletic player, highly athletic player. I've seen him up close and in person. I've seen him play a little bit here at Wyoming. He's not, you know, obviously here in Denver, we get a number of those games. But you may have reached taking him at all because you probably could have just signed him for nothing. I don't think anyone else was going to draft him. Here's the problem with Larry Nance Jr. Here is the reason that I bring him up. Because the last time or recently, when the Lakers came to Denver to play the Nuggets, Larry Nance Jr. posted on his Twitter account, let's hope this time in Denver, Kobe Bryant can keep his hands to himself. Hashtag rapist. Hashtag rapist. I mean, you can say it. You can think it. I don't know if you want to put it out there when you might end up being his teammate. And that is exactly what happened. Now, Larry Nance Jr. is Kobe Bryant's teammate. Now, I have some good news, and I've got some bad news for Larry Nance Jr. The bad news is, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to deal with Kobe. And I've heard that Nance has already reached out to Kobe. He's kind of trying to suck up to him. Mr. Bryant, I apologize for that. That was just, you know, a mistake I made. I was young. I was stupid. He's probably, when the Lakers go to lunch in the cafeteria, he's probably going to get tripped. He's going to get the tray knocked out of his hand. He's probably going to have to sit by himself at the cafeteria table. He's going to look like the stupid blonde girl in Orange is the New Black sitting by himself with no friends. Just know that is coming for him. But don't worry too much, Larry Nance Jr., because there is good news out there. It's not all bad. Not everything is bad, because let's be honest, you're only going to have to deal with Kobe for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then he's going to be hurt for the season anyways, isn't he? So you're not going to have to worry about it that much longer. It's going to be rough at first. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable at first, and then it's going to get a little bit better. Some interesting picks by the Los Angeles Lakers. So then, with the third pick, now you have the Philadelphia 76ers on the clock at 3. And in the past 2 years, they keep drafting big men. And they keep saying, okay, this time we really got our big men. Okay, this time we really got our big men. They wanted D'Angelo Russell. They wanted him badly. And now, they're on the clock with already having drafted 7-foot Joel Embiid and 6'11 Nerlens Noel over the past 2 years. And now they're going, what do we do now? We can't pass up Okafor. We have to take him. There's not another, I mean, I guess they could reach and go with Emmanuel Mudiay, but that's kind of a reach at the 3 spot. So they take another big man. And now they have three big men. I don't know. I don't know what else you can do if you're Philly. It's a tough situation that they were in. Okafor could be better than either of the other two they already have. And both Noel and Embiid have an injury history. It doesn't seem like Okafor has that. I really like Okafor's game. I know defensively he has a long, long way to go, but offensively he does some really, really good things. And keep in mind that when he was playing at Duke, Duke was kind of protecting him. Duke was kind of hiding him. I think the three best players in the draft probably went 1, 2, 3. They just might have kind of got mixed up out of order. Let's talk about some of the teams of the drafts, teams that had good drafts that I really did like. I really like the Houston Rockets draft. Sam Decker and people are going to be comparing, Sam Decker to Chandler Parsons because Parsons just left the Rockets and also because they're both white. They're not anything alike, really. Parsons was a very, very good passer who could shoot. We're not sure if Decker can shoot yet. We're going to have to see. At times he looks like he can shoot, but it's not very consistent, but he is extremely athletic. He's way more athletic than Parsons will ever dream of being. He's 6'9", and he has like a 38-inch vertical. That's not anything like Chandler Parsons, aside again from being white and playing for the Rockets. The thing that I want to watch with Decker is if he can develop any kind of a post game with his quickness and his athleticism, he could create some matchup problems. Because who do you put on him? Do you put a 3 on him? Do you put a 4 on him? If Decker can get that 3-point shot down where he can stretch you out, he becomes a little bit of a matchup problem. Keep an eye on that. Then they end up getting Montrezl Harrell, the forward out of Louisville, who is a guy that just plays hard. I don't know if Harrell's that talented. I really don't. I don't want to compare him to a Zach Randolph. He's not quite that, but he's not overly talented. He just works extremely hard. And so as a result, and he was a guy that they were talking about in the first round. Houston picks him up in the second round. I thought the Houston Rockets had a very, very good draft. I know it's probably, the easiest one to pick up, but the Miami Heat, somehow Justice Winslow falls to them at 10. And you know what it reminded me of when I saw Winslow fall that far? It reminded me of that year, what was that, like 2007 or whatever it was, when, the Cavaliers get LeBron James and then Detroit takes Darko and we don't know why. And then at 3, the Nuggets take Carmelo Anthony and everyone kind of forgot about the draft after that. It was like, okay, you had LeBron and you had Carmelo, and those were the two big names. And in this draft, it kind of seemed like there were the three big names. You had Okafor, you had Anthony Towns, and then you had Russell. And then after that, everyone kind of forgot. And Winslow, meanwhile, is just dropping, and he's falling. And people are grabbing a European player. Let's grab this player. I'm going to grab this player. And somehow Justice Winslow falls to 10. You know, Dwayne Wade fell to 5 that year after Chris Bosh at 4. Kind of quietly. No one was really paying much attention to him. Winslow is a really, really tough defender who can slash and finish at the basket and hurt you in a couple different ways. Does that sound familiar at all? He sounds a lot like Dwayne Wade, doesn't it? Kind of looks like Dwayne Wade a little bit the way he attacks the basket at times. He has to become a more consistent scorer. He has to develop a more consistent 3-point shot. But the thing that is funny to me is I heard so many people in the draft, so many draft experts, and they were saying, well, I really like Justice Winslow. I like his toughness. I like his defense. I like some of the things he brings to the table. He's a winner. He does some of these things, but I don't know if he's a 2 or a 3. Who cares? What do I care if he's a 2 or a 3? Do I have to put a certain number on his jersey? What difference does it make if he's a 2 or a 3? Let me ask you this. What is Kobe? Is he a 2 or a 3? What is LeBron James? Is he a 1, a 4? A 2? I have no idea. I don't care what he is. I could care less. That is the stupidest argument I have ever heard for why you wouldn't draft a guy. Because you don't know what position he plays? You know what position he plays? He plays the guy that I give the ball to. He plays the position of he shuts down your best player. That's the position he plays. That is the stupidest. He's tough. Justice Winslow is a tough kid. He is a physical defender. Phoenix. I like the Phoenix Suns draft. And I'm a little bit slow to give Phoenix a ton of credit, but Devin Booker is only 18. Shooting guard out of Kentucky. He might have been the best shooter in the draft. He should fit in very, very well with this group. I know that Goran Dragic looks like he's going to go back to Miami, but the group in Phoenix with Eric Bledsoe, with Isaiah Thomas, they're scoring about 102 points a game. Devin Booker can come in and contribute to that right away. Very, very good long-range shooter. I know his shooting seemed like it declined a little bit later in the season as they started to face tougher competition, but it's probably going to improve and become more consistent in the NBA. Here is my only concern for the Phoenix Suns. I do have one concern with the Phoenix Suns. And I like some of what they've built down there. I think that they are becoming a dangerous team. They seem like they've been right at the edge of making the playoffs. I kind of like what they're building, but keep this in mind. You've got Eric Bledsoe. You now have Devin Booker. You have Archie Goodwin. You have Brandon Knight. All from Kentucky. And what I worry about is how long can you keep these guys happy? I'm not talking about number of shots. I'm not talking about, hey, I'm not getting my touches. I'm not getting my looks. I'm not getting the number of shots that I want. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about financially, because you know full well these guys are taking a huge pay cut from Kentucky. These boys are living hand to mouth in the NBA. No longer on the Calipari payroll. Are you kidding me? It's all these guys can do just to get through the day. Times is tough, man. The struggle is real in Phoenix. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the New York Knicks draft. And I'm not putting them on my list of teams that I don't like, but I want to talk a little bit about them because it's easy to pile on the Knicks right now. And I understand it. They draft the kid out of Latvia, Kristaps Porzingis, who, I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I haven't watched enough European basketball, I guess. The Lithuanian League and the Latvian League and all those leagues, I didn't get around to watching all those. They draft Porzingis. They say this kid is a gunner. They say he's got the prettiest shot in the draft. He's a huge kid. He's a good sized kid. But when they draft him, the locals there in New York go completely crazy, boo him. I don't know who they wanted. I don't know if they wanted Moutier. I don't know if they wanted Winslow. I don't know what the pick was that they wanted, but they didn't want the European player. And, we saw the booing. We saw the little nerd, up in the stands crying and taking selfies and beating himself over the head and just super, super upset. Porzingis might end up being a player. I don't have any idea if he can play. But the Knicks draft isn't their problem, because then they went out and picked up Notre Dame point guard, Jerian Grant, who I personally think might be one of the best point guards in the draft. I saw him play. I saw him play at a high level, and he's pretty tough. The problem isn't the draft for the Knicks. The problem is what's already there. You have a huge mess there. And you had Carmelo Anthony complaining about the Porzingis pick. Why are we picking a project? I came here to win. I want to win right away. Why are we picking a project? This is your fault, Melo. This is completely your fault. Remember when you opted out of Denver? Because you wanted to go be on the big stage? Well, you're on the big stage now. Remember last year when you could have signed with Chicago for more money, but you wanted all that money? Well, you got that money now. So I don't want to hear your complaining about who they draft. They can give away their draft picks for all I care. You have no say in it whatsoever, because you made this bed. This is Carmelo's bed that he made. He made it. He maxed out the money. So he gets to sleep in it. I don't care about that. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. And I know we've been very, very NBA heavy. The NBA is, you know, wrapping up and finishing up. We have the draft. We have all this free agent stuff happening. We've got to go with an NBA top five today. Our NBA top five today, and it's hard to tell. It's really, really hard to tell. We're going to go with the top five NBA draft busts of all time. And the thing about this, when I look at the NBA draft this year, we can look at some of these players. We can look at some of these guys that were drafted in the first round. And I promise you, there's going to be a few busts. I'll guarantee there's going to be a few busts. Some of these guys will never, ever amount to being players. It might be because they're lazy. It might be because they don't have a drive. It might be because they get injured. It might be because they just are in the wrong system. You never know what it's going to be. Now, when I look at busts, it's easy to look at some of these guys and say, hey, A great player was taken after them, and so you're a bust. Look at a guy like Sam Bowie. Sam Bowie gets drafted back in the day. He's the second pick after Hakeem Olajuwon. With the second pick, Portland takes Sam Bowie. And then with the third pick, the Chicago Bulls take Michael Jordan. He'll always be linked with Michael Jordan. But Sam Bowie wasn't a horrible player. I think he played in the league like 10 years. He had like over 5,000 points in his career. He had a number of injuries. But because he was picked before Michael Jordan, that's the thing that we always remember. Now, the guys that I'm going to name you, we'll talk about some of the people that were picked after them. But the guys I'm going to name you, they were busts because they probably should never have been picked to begin with. They had some issues. They had some problems. There were some flaws with their game. And you know, these guys on draft night, these really, really smart guys, they say, well, no, this is the pick. This is the guy. This is who we should take. It makes the most sense. Well, let's just see. Number five on our list, Daily Dose top five NBA draft busts. And I had to stay local on one of these. You knew I was going to go with something in Denver on one of these because of the horrible franchise that is the Denver Nuggets. Number five. Now, he's taken a little bit later in the draft. That's not the point. 1978 NBA draft, with the number 17 pick, the Denver Nuggets select Rod Griffin from Wake Forest. Rod Griffin? Who's that? Who's Rod Griffin? Let me tell you why you don't know who Rod Griffin is. Because he didn't even make the opening day roster. He was with the team a few weeks, and they cut him. Number 17 pick. I'm not talking about second round. Number 17 pick in the entire draft. At the time, I think the NBA only consisted of like 22 teams. 17 pick in the entire draft. Didn't make the opening day roster and never played. Career over. Your season's over. Your career's over. Never got on the floor a single time in a true NBA game. After him, let me give you two players that were selected after Rod Griffin that the Nuggets could have had. They could have had a point guard by the name of Maurice Cheeks, who went on to have a phenomenal career with Philadelphia 76ers. They could have had Wayne Cooper, who at least was a serviceable big man, but instead they went with Rod Griffin. Rod Griffin never made a roster, never played a minute of true NBA basketball. Number four, with the number two pick in the 2009 draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select out of UConn, Hashim Thabeet. Now, Hashim Thabeet had some red flags when he came out, when he was coming out of college. He had some red flags when he was at UConn. There was a game at UConn late when they were playing back there. He was playing for Jim Calhoun, where he kind of quit. He like wouldn't get off the bench, and Calhoun and him were having words, and there were some issues. Hashim Thabeet just kind of quit. And then when he got to the league, everyone's like, yeah, but look at what he has defensively. He does so much. He was such a long guy. He was so athletic. He played with four different teams in 5 years. He averaged 2.2 points per game for his career and was out of the league by 2013. Totally done. Hashim Thabeet gets our number four slot. Number three on our list of NBA draft busts, we got to go back to 1972. Again, those Portland Trailblazers, they always seem to have a tough time. You know, in 1972, Portland selects a guy by the name of LaRue Martin. LaRue Martin was a 6'11 big man coming out of Loyola in Chicago. And his situation was, it wasn't that he had like a drug problem. It wasn't that he was lazy. It wasn't that he had any of these issues with that some of these guys have. He wasn't very good. And as a result, LaRue Martin lasted just four seasons, and he was out of the league by 1976. Averaged 5 points per game. And here's the sad part for LaRue Martin. By 76, he was out of the game, and that was the year that Portland went on and won the NBA championship. But let me give you two players that were selected after LaRue Martin. Sorry, Portland. I know this hurts. Bob McAdoo, you might have heard of him. And then the New Jersey Nets selected a guy by the name of, Julius Erving. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts a little bit when you hear those two names. Moving on to our number two pick. In the 1986 draft, the Golden State Warriors select with the number 3 pick overall out of North Carolina State, Chris Washburn. And Chris Washburn was a guy that there were huge red flags on drafting. He had been in trouble at school when he was at Carolina State. He had, like, I don't know, broken into a house and stolen a stereo or something. In the NBA, he failed 3 different drug tests 3 different times, ended up in rehab, had a cocaine addiction, all kinds of problems for Chris Washburn. Played for 3 different teams in just 2 seasons, averaged 3 points a game, and was completely out of the league by 1989. Chris Washburn gets our number 2 pick on our Daily Dose top 5 NBA draft bust. Our number 1 player. I feel bad putting this guy at number 1. I feel bad putting this guy at number 1, but I have to. Number 1 on our list, NBA draft bust, 2007 again, Portland. Portland, why do you keep doing this? You need to hire new draft people, Portland. I'm available for the right price. Portland Trailblazers select out of Ohio State center 7-foot Greg Oden. Greg Oden was a guy, and I'll be honest, when this draft was coming out, I was looking at Oden going, no, dude can play. I saw him play at Ohio State. Can run the floor, very, very good defensively. He'll work hard for you. Can rebound, can be a monster at the rim. I liked a lot of what Greg Oden had and what he brought to the table. The problem with Greg Oden, he can't stay healthy. 2 microfracture surgeries, really, really early in his career. He can never get healthy. And then after he had the 1 microfracture, he just blew the other one out. So then he had the ACL and had to have that surgery. Just can never get healthy. He has played a part in just 3 seasons, has a total of 540 NBA points. A couple players that were picked after him, of course, the big name you always remember, Kevin Durant was taken with the 2nd pick, Marc Gasol, Joakim Noah, Al Horford. Portland, again, you have got to redo the way you draft people. Anytime Portland drafts someone, you have to be just a little bit nervous for them. Hey, I hope you enjoyed our look back at some Daily Dose episodes from the past today. We do have a little bit of a different week for you, but I hope you are enjoying some of these memories from some of the things that went on in the world of sports. I'd say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Thursday. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is appreciated. Hey, if you're not subscribed to the Dose wherever you listen, make sure you click that little subscribe or follow button. That way you don't miss a single episode. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.